You are listening to an online message from Limbrookwood Baptist Church. For more messages, upcoming events and weekly activities, please visit www.lwbc.org.uk. You can also follow us on Facebook and Twitter by searching Limbrookwood BC. Thank you for tuning in.
Well, welcome this morning. It's nice to see a bit of sunshine, isn't it? This is the start of a mini-series, and I'm so excited. I am genuinely excited because God has been, well, we've been journeying as a church, and I've been journeying with you over the last 6 to 8 months, and it's been really exciting seeing all that God is actually saying to us as his church here in this estate at this time. We had a church conference, and for those that made it to the church conference, we were in this hall, we were given a load of little beans, and we were able to put some votes on things that we thought, where the church was at, how the church was interacting. Was it a healthy church? Was it an inward-looking church? Was it an outward-looking church? And we had lots and lots of discussion about what that actually looked like. And it was quite interesting, not necessarily to draw all conclusions from that, but it just gave us that little point where we went, okay, well, this is where we are as a church. And I suppose as I've been seeking God and say, well, what's the next step then? If we knew the whole journey, of course, we'd be terrified, wouldn't we? But what's the next step, God? What's that next thing that you're calling us to? So here we are at the start of a 5-week mini-series. And I've entitled it called Living Well. Living Well. And it, actually, my introduction is this. It's a double-edged sword because actually, I can ask you the question, are you living well? As in health, are you living well? And what is the well that you are drawing from as a resource? What's the well that you go to? Okay, so are you living well? What is the living well that you are drawing from? And what we've done, chatting some things through with Nikki and others, we're going to break this word well down. I've got it nice and big on the screen, look, with dots in between. We're going to break that down as an acronym for W-E-L-L. We're going to break each of those down, and there will be a test at the end, so make sure you're paying close attention, okay? Those that came to the prayer meeting or the Bible study on the Wednesday, we've already had a bit of a preview on this one, so I expect Rick to know already all of this, and Dave, of course. Well, what are we breaking well down into? So we're going to break these down. I'm going to do an introduction today, but we're going to break these down over the next 4 weeks and really find out what this well is all about. So my first letter is a W. Okay, this is how it breaks down. It's really simple. W equals worship. Okay, that's my first letter. And the thing we'll be looking at next week, what is worship? Okay, I'm not going to unpack all that today, but we're going to have a little look at it. The third week is going to be E. And this is evangelism. It's a word that some people look at. I know Jeff says, oh, evangelists, what's that all about? Actually, without giving too much away, it's an overflow of our worship, I believe, being evangelists. But again, we'll unpack that a bit more. My third letter is another L, which is learning or discipleship. And I asked a question a few weeks ago. You don't get to sit on the fence on this one. Who are you following and who is following you? If you think about that, you are following somebody and somebody is following you. So our learning, our discipleship, and our fourth one, our fourth L, is life. If we are living well, i.e. we're doing those three previous letters, worship, evangelism, learning, I believe you will have life. And as a church, we will have life to the full. Life as God intended us to have it. Now there is one more element, and I'm not going to give that element away just yet. You've got to try and work out that's central to our well. It's not a who, it is a what. Let's pray and ask God to come. Father, I thank you that we're here this morning as your body, as your people, or those that might just be looking in for the first time, and you want to speak to us. You are a living God. You are a powerful God. You are a healer God. You are higher than anything we can put in the way this morning. And we just ask that your Holy Spirit would now come and open our hearts and our minds and lead us on that, Lord, this morning we'll go out of here changed. For your glory, we pray in Jesus' name. So, are you living well as in health? I don't know, you've probably done it to somebody already this morning. Who's spoken about the weather? I mentioned it, didn't I? It was nice to see the sun. Yeah, yeah. Dave's got it. He's always on it. How are you? Have you said that to someone this morning? How are you? 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 What do we say? I'm okay. That's a pretty good answer. I've actually got that written down. Someone would say okay. Some people actually might go one step further, mightn't they? And they might go, oh, you know, so-so, surviving. Surviving might be a word that you use. Not to embarrass my wife, Nikki, but Nikki was speaking to someone recently. She did say I could do this, so I did ask permission before I said I was going to share this. Someone came in the other week, and Nikki said hello for the first time. How are you? And they instantly just said, well, I had a breakdown this morning. And Nikki was like, oh, no. So she pulled a chair up, concerned, tell me about it. Yeah, well, I was driving along and the steering went and then the AA, thank you, Nikki. The AA, the RAC was managing to fix that one. But actually, are we really that honest with somebody? Would we really actually just say, hey, or do we put a face on? So what are the hallmarks, I would say, of actually living well as in a healthy church and living well as a Christian? And actually, the challenge, if people are listening to this afterwards, if anyone listens to this online or those that can't make it, they listen to this. The challenge is, I believe, for Limbrickwood Baptist Church, God is speaking to us as a church right here, right now, and he wants us to live well. Live well. So therefore, my first letter, and I'm going to keep going over this, so when you get the quiz at the end, you'll know where we're going. We should always be worshipping. Our first letter was W, worship. And what is that worship? Not just for an hour on a Sunday. We should have a worshipping attitude. And if we have a worshipping attitude, and we're going to look at this in a little bit more detail over the coming weeks, it asks us to take our sin seriously. You see, I believe our sinful nature will stop us from having a worshipping heart. And if we've not got a worshipping heart, you can't even start the rest of the living well bit. You've stopped at W. You've got to be worshipping. And actually, it's not easy to worship, is it, sometimes? It's an attitude of heart, mind, soul, body, will. Sometimes you've got to just tear yourself into that place to say, I've got to do it. It's intentional, I believe, our worship. Like I say, we're going to unpack that a little bit more. But from that worshipping heart, when we're in that place of worship, I think you're going to find the most natural opportunities to do our second letter, which is E. To be an evangelist, to tell people others. Evangelist isn't just somebody that's a Christian buzzword. If you like something, if you like your iPhone, I don't know why anyone would, but if you like an iPhone, you would tell everybody about it. You might be an Android person, much, much better, of course. But you would be an evangelist for the Android phone. People become natural evangelists about things they're interested in. If you're really interested in something, you pay a lot of time learning about it. Mobile phone contracts. Who's sat here and wrestled with a mobile phone contract? Oh, how much research did you do? How much did you learn about it? And did you really get what you wanted at the end? You know, when you're interested in something, when you're purposely interested and you're worshipping, and you're so intense about it, you'll naturally tell others and share others about that. You'll naturally want to, which is my third letter, L, is learn about it. There'll be discipleship. You will be naturally telling people about this. And also, you'll be wanting to find out more about it yourself. You see where we're going? You see this well? Are you living well this morning? So what are the hallmarks of a healthy church? What were the hallmarks? Worship, evangelism, learning, and life. I would say worship until you're completely overflowing. Get to that place first, and when you're overflowing, we're not going to have to teach you how to evangelize. You're just going to do it. How many people do you know that are just bursting with scriptures and stuff, or bursting with something? Whenever you meet them, they can't help themselves. They're just, they're always gossiping. The gospel is a phrase, I think, that they say. I've got a circle up on the screen that should hopefully play. You see, well, if you wrote it down on a piece of paper, you'd probably write it out in a linear fashion. But actually, if you're worshipping, I believe you become a natural evangelist. When you become a natural evangelist, you'll be learning and discipling, you'll be living a life. When you're living an exciting life, what do? You start worshipping. Do you see where I'm going with this? And as soon as you start worshipping, you start getting excited about it. And as soon as you get excited about it, you want to learn more about it, you tell others about it, and you start living a life. And it keeps going round and round and round. And I think that's really exciting. So how are we going to kickstart that off? How do we kickstart that? And I think actually listening to a number in the congregation recently, they've been saying, oh, the worship this morning. Oh, I don't know what it is. There's something. We're lifting the roof in this place. When you start with that worshiping heart, and that's where Jasmine and I started this morning. As we're thinking about this message, we got here purposely early, and we were singing and making a great noise in here. Well, she was. I was singing along with her. You know, we looked at Philippians 3 before. We sung the song a minute ago, In Christ Alone, about running that race. What is the next step that God's got for us here at Limbrick Wood Baptist Church this morning? Well, I think actually it starts with us. We were praying out the back, Lord, would you change this estate? Lord, would you change me first? Would you change me first? Would you let me know that I'm 100% complete in Christ? That he is my absolute everything, my all in all. Whatever I'm wrestling with at the moment is because I put it in the way of my relationship with him, or it's baggage that I've picked up, or something that I say I've got to do before I can be accepted. And actually, Christ doesn't say that. He says, right here, right now, right where you are, he is here for you. I like the fact that I'm able to journey with you because I can speak about previous messages. And one of the previous messages was talking about Peter. I'm going to put the slide back up on the screen again. Do you remember that message about Peter? And I said Peter was walking on the water. We were talking about being that follower of Christ and becoming like him. Therefore, if we see our master, we can become like our master, surely. That was what the discipleship program was. We used that word Talmud, didn't we? We were those that literally walk in the dust of his feet, exact footsteps. We wake up, we sleep, we become exactly like him. And that's where Peter was at. But actually, I challenged myself. Whereabouts am I in that story? Am I someone that sat in the boat there, looking out at Jesus, walking on the water, terrified, going, oh, don't look at that? Or are we on the side of the boat, not quite brave enough to step out? Were we people that have stepped out already and said, God, I completely trust you. I'm up for this. Whoa, you're walking on the water. I can walk on the water. And suddenly we take our eyes off the Lord and we start sinking. Or are you in that place where you're actually one of his followers, one of these Talmud, those disciples to become exactly like our Savior and daily we're with him? Just pause for a moment and have a look at that list. Think about that story. Are you this morning 100% trusting in Christ and knowing that you are his? Just take a moment to just pause and think, Lord, where am I? Where am I? See, we can do a lot of talking, can't we, but not a lot of listening. I don't know what God's saying to you this morning, but my prayer is, and I put a lot of prayer into this, that he's talking to your heart this morning. He's been talking very clearly to this church recently. Get excited, guys. Isaiah 43 is very exciting in verse 19. This was actually given to the church. Rick's smiling about this as well. This is exciting stuff. We were in Philippians. Isaiah 43 was being spoken over the church. Sue received an email from the Baptist Union guys saying, hey, we've got this call to prayer. We've got this thing that we feel God is saying to the church at the moment. And it was exactly this verse. And what does it say? See, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I am making a way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland. My question to you this morning is, what's holding you back? What is holding you back from living well today? Now take comfort. That verse that we also spoke about in Philippians 3, Paul says take comfort, because I'm not painting a picture here where there's an impossible thing for you to step into. Paul's awesome. He says in Philippians 3, starting at 12 there, not that I've already obtained all these things, or have already arrived at my goal, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. He speaks to us all. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, and this is where it harps back to Isaiah, forgetting what is behind and straining to what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. Paul was not like Jesus Christ yet. He was in many things, but he had not yet reached that place. There is hope for us. Take comfort this morning if you feel you are not necessarily living well. So, what is our relationship with Christ like? As you know, the church is Christ's bride. And Christ, we believe, has gone ahead to prepare a place for us. We believe he's coming back again. Amen. He's coming back again for his bride. Christ is the groom, and we are his church, and we should love him. In fact, it is a commandment, isn't it? It is a commandment. I think it's flashed up on the screen there already. Matthew 22 says this. Jesus replied, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and the greatest commandment. Do you get that? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. The second is like it, to love your neighbor as yourself. As the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. So if we love, what does Scripture actually say about love? Now we're going to look at Ephesians in a bit more detail tonight, and it's just the way it happened to come out. But Ephesians 5 talks about that marriage between Christ and the church. And it says, husbands, love your wives. This is in Ephesians 5 here. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. What? To make her holy, cleansing her by washing with water through the word, and to present her to himself as a radiant church, without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish, but holy and blameless. And we've got that great mystery, haven't we, in Genesis 2, which talks about the two becoming one flesh because of love and God's love. You know, if we really love each other, we actually spur one another on, don't we? We don't want to see people in a place where they're hurting and struggling. We want to draw them onto that place because we love them. And that's just what God's like with us. He wants to spur us on to holiness this morning. As we just read in Ephesians there, it says, without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish, but holy and blameless. And that's the gospel, isn't it? That's the gospel in a nutshell. Christ didn't actually say to you, you've got to do all this stuff to get right before I love you. He comes to make the unlovely lovely. You don't have to do it first. He's going to do that for us. He doesn't stop there, does he? And I think this is where it's so exciting. It's an ongoing process. A good word is sanctification. And this is a change that the Holy Spirit, I believe, brings about in our lives. And it brings forth fruit. Fruit is so exciting. Of love, joy, peace, faithfulness, kindness, self-control. When I was looking at this, you look obviously at many different sources, you look at different references, and I got a random video come up about marriage, and I thought that's interesting because I was looking about the aspect of marriage and that ongoing process of spurring one another on, what husbands and wives are doing for each other, and I found a Tim Keller and another chap, and they were talking, there was marriage counselling, and actually there's a Christian couple in here, and there's a non-Christian couple talking, and as I listened to this, I was really interested about how the non-Christian couple spoke about what they saw in a biblical marriage. So I'm going to play a little video clip for you. And this is actually the non-Christian couple talking. So have a listen to this and we'll pick it up in a minute. Thank you.
I think for me, you know, as a non-Christian, I absolutely feel like I need to find models and resources to support our marriage that are more than just between the two of us. And those aren't always easy to find. You know, we find them in our community, We find them in our friends. We find them in our philosophy and our beliefs and the common ground that we share and the recognition that we are a couple in something so much bigger than the two of us. And I think that we're working in our best ways for the betterment of not just ourselves, not just our family, but the people we love and even the people we don't love. But that is hard. I'll be frank. I find the picture enviable because it's, I think for us, it's much more complex. And Tim, you and I have spoken about this in the past, but I do feel like sometimes when we can't look just to one common deep well, we get into trouble when we're looking in different directions. We get into trouble when a well we expect to be a deep resource isn't as deep or is a lot drier than we expected. But I do think there's a balance that comes for us from this tension of many different sources of support, none of which are infinite, none of which are always reliable, but there's a web there that has been so far enough to hold us.
Well, and one thing that I think we've done in order to improvise kind of around our lack of a central well is try and be certain to communicate during non-crisis times in preparation for those times, especially since we have gone through some hard times and seen how difficult it can be in the moment when we're already depleted and exhausted emotionally and physically, and to make sure that, you know, we practice, for lack of a better term, to prepare for the time when it does come again and make sure that we understand our pitfalls, our own personal pitfalls, and try and look in the same direction so that we can stay together as a union and help each other through difficult times instead of trying to retreat and nurse our own wounds individually. And that keeps us strong.
Yeah. And I think that, like, I'll be honest, when I hear that passage, when I hear you talk about how it relates to your own marriage, I think to myself, I'm like, wow, it would be great if God had our back. Like, that's quite a team.
There you go. Isn't that interesting? And I was quite interested that he even took this analogy of a well, this web, many wells, many places that they go, and how jealous he was to say, you've got that deep well, that deep resource that is God. You see, a healthy person, a healthy church is actually impossible, isn't it, in human terms. We do actually need God to turn up and to do that for us. And Hubert read lovely for us this morning from James. If we're going to go to his well, his never-ending well, that deep resource, what does James say? He said, consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, when you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith, what? Produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so you may be mature and complete, not lacking in anything. See, if any of you lacks wisdom, what should you do? Ask God for it, who gives generously to all without finding fault. And it continued, didn't it? We read that bit. Do not merely listen to the word so as to deceive yourselves, but come on, let's get on and do what it says. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like someone who looks at their face in the mirror and then walks away and forgets what they look like. What's that all about? What's that all about? Those who consider themselves religious and yet do not keep a tight rein on their tongues deceive themselves. Their religion, it says, it's in James still, verse 26, their religion is worthless. Religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this. And this is a challenge for us at Limbrick Wood at the moment. To look after the orphans and the widows, those in distress, and to keep oneself from being polluted from the world. You see, if we depend on our abilities and our traditions, what are we going to do? You're going to fail miserably. But that Ephesians 5 verse, that marriage example that God gives us, I think I've got some of these highlighted on the screen here. Look at those words that are highlighted. This is what God wants to do with us, his church, to make her holy, cleansing her by the washing of water through the word, and to present himself as a radiant church without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish, but holy and blameless. What does God need to do to get your attention this morning? It's in big letters up there. I couldn't get them any bigger. Is God trying to get your attention this morning? You see, we looked at the woman at the well, didn't we, with the kids? And actually, there was a discrepancy between the Samaritans and the Jews there, but what happened as soon as Jesus told her something about herself, suddenly she went, whoa, I better listen. He's got my attention. And this is a real challenge, and I know it's going to be a real challenge to some out there. You know, Terry was talking about this last week, the woman at the well. It's great when God keeps reinforcing stuff. But the message today is for us right here, right now. I don't know what's coming to your mind this morning. I know what came to my mind as I went through this. But what's stopping you from living well? What is stopping you from living well? And actually, I just want to release you this morning because God already knows. Yeah? God already knows. I've got knows really big on the screen. Look, God already knows. And this is it. He wants to release us. He wants to set you free this morning. And this is the message I think God wants to give to us as his church. He wants to release us into that full relationship with him, that we will be living well. We will be living well. We'll be worshiping. We'll be evangelists naturally. We'll be learning stuff because we're going to be so excited about it. And we're going to have that life, that fullness of life that God intends for us. I've got some quotes. We sang it from the song this morning. Romans 8:31. What then shall we say in response to a God that wants to set us free? Can we really trust him this morning? What then shall we say? If God is for us, who can be against us? If God is for us, who can be against us? John 10:10 says, I have come, this is Jesus, that you may have life and have it to the full. There's some great scriptures. Write these down if you haven't got them. And Revelation 21:1-6, this is just awesome. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. It is a bit like Coventry, maybe. No, it's not. It's going to be much better than that. I saw the holy city, a new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, look, God's dwelling place is now among the people, and he will dwell with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe away every tear. Do you hear that? He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. He who is seated on the throne said, I am making everything new. And then he said, write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true. Trustworthy and true. He said to me, it is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To those who are thirsty, I will give the privilege of what? Drinking from the well of the water of life without payment. Isn't that a big wow? Do you get that? I will give the privilege of drinking from the water of the well of life without payment. He's done it all for us. I've got that well animation again, but there's something slightly different about that well. What is the source of the well? What do we draw from the well? Love. We read it earlier, didn't we? Matthew 22. It just underpins that whole thing. What is our motivation? What is it when we really love one another? You know, if you're living well this morning, if you're living well, you will love. And that's the commandment, wasn't it? To love the Lord your God and to love your neighbor as yourself. And how can we do that? I believe it's by worshiping, having a worshiping heart, being grateful. Whatever situation you're in at the moment, worship God. Worship God. And out of that, you're going to be a natural evangelist. You might not even have to say anything. I'm not going to embarrass Jeff by mentioning his name. But he pushes Meg up and down the streets. Doesn't have to say anything to anybody. They see a husband that loves his wife unconditionally. That's massive. That's worship. That's worship. That's how we do it. That's how we evangelize. He says he's not an evangelist. Boom, keep doing that. Keep living. Keep having that life, because it's going to impact our community around us this morning. So that's my challenge, my takeaway. I'm passing on God's invitation to you to ask you those three questions. Are you living well? What is the well that you are drawing from? And here's a real challenge. Are you actually going to let God's Holy Spirit come in to your situation and do his work? Because I think we put the barriers up. We stop that. We stop that. So when I ask you, how are you doing? How are you doing? How are you doing, Rick? You're living well. Wow. I didn't even prompt him either. That's awesome. Thank you for that. We're not just surviving, are we? We're not just okay. Our answer should be, I'm living well. It doesn't mean it's great. It doesn't mean it's an emotion. But actually, I've engaged my mind here. And I've got my hand in the hand of the Savior. And I'm living well this morning. It's not easy, but I'm living well. Next week, we're going to be looking at worship and unpacking this and encouraging one another. I love getting caught up in worship. It's the place I start. When I want to go and seek God, I might just sit in front of the piano or the guitar, and that's where I start. Let me get my heart in tune. But we'll unpack that a little bit more next week. Let's pray. Father, I thank you that you are speaking to our hearts. Lord, I thank you that you are a God that loves us so much that you really don't want to leave us where we are. You do want to make us holy and blameless, without blemish. Lord, that is an amazing place that we long to be. But Lord, give us that comfort that Paul has encouraged us already, that Lord, he wasn't even there yet. And Lord, we know that we are a work in progress. And Lord, many of us are facing many, many different situations this morning. We belittle none of those. We bring those before your throne of grace this morning. That, Father, we could step into those situations and say, I want to live well. I am living well. Father, whatever that first step is for us, I pray that our hearts will be so in tune with yours that we would be living well. That we would come to you, that source, that deep, deep well. Father, be with us as we go into the rest of the week, as those words maybe challenge us, as we maybe challenge each other, as we think about those things that you've brought to mind this morning, maybe just where we are in our walk with you. Help us, Lord, to boldly take that next step, I pray, because there's a community out there, there's a world out there that needs to know this good news. And Lord, let us never be a blockage to that. We ask all this for your glory, Lord, and in Jesus' precious name, amen.
You are listening to an online message from Limbrook Wood Baptist Church. For more messages, upcoming events, and weekly activities, please visit www.lwbc.org.uk. You can also follow us on Facebook and Twitter by searching Limbrook Wood BC. Thank you for tuning in.